Well, if you're a parent, then you know that kids have an inquisitive nature about them. And there really is no filter to what a kid will ask. So this last August, me and Louise and the boys got a chance to go back home and visit with family. And so when we were visiting with my mom and dad, my middle son, Wyatt, asked my parents, "Did Dad ever get in trouble and have to get a whipping?" And so, as you might imagine, that started a unique conversation. We started reminiscing about some things, and it was just, in fun, but there was one particular spot that just kind of stepped out in my mind, and it was both the first and the last time I ever told my mom to shut up. You see that where this might be going. So, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I gotta tell you something unique about my mom. She's only 4'9". So even as a kid, I was actually taller than her. So we're walking down the street, okay? And I don't know what she said to me, but whatever it was set me off, and I said, "Shut up." But before I could utter the "up," she pulled her flip-flop off, pop, right across the mouth, and put the flip-flop on without missing a step. I swear, she didn't even miss a step. And so I was so overtaken by this. Not that it hurt as bad as I was just shocked. There was two things that stuck in my mind at that time. And one was my mom just hit me in the mouth with a flip-flop she had been walking on. That's kind of gross. But two, I had a realization that I crossed a line with her of disrespect. And she wasn't going to tolerate it. Now, right or wrong, her actions gained my compliance and my obedience. And to this day, I've never told her to shut up. I've had disagreements with my mother, but I ain't never told her to shut up. So, but the fact is, we as parents want and desire that our kids should both obey and respect us. But as we'll find out this morning in scriptures, that desire is God's desire as well. And so Paul addresses two responsibilities, one that we have as parents and one we have as children. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them up to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, like I've mentioned before, and we know, most of Paul's letters that he wrote while he was in prison. And when he wrote the one to Ephesians, he wrote it to address some new religious philosophies that were occurring in Asia Minor that was threatening Christianity. Now, this last Friday and Saturday, I got a chance to be at part of that convention, North American Baptist Convention. One of the speakers was addressing something that I knew, but kind of shed a little bit different light on it. And so I've kind of just looked at the scriptures a little bit differently. And the fact is that he brought up was he wrote these to exiles. In other words, Christianity was not accepted religion at the time that Paul was around the disciples. And the fact was it was on the outside of society. It was unheard of. It's a different way of life. It's a different way of living. It wasn't accepted. And so he's writing this letter to tell them to live a different way in every aspect of their life. And so in the first five chapters, he talks about the need for salvation through grace, the need for unity of the body, and the need for Christians to live holy lives before the world. And in chapter 5 through 6, he talks about what a Christian life should look like lived out in the home. And I think this is the area of life that I think we as Christians struggle with probably the most. But in chapter 5, I want to touch on a few verses there because I believe they give context to this morning's scriptures. So I'm looking at chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her. So Paul addresses certain roles and responsibility and authority that God has bestowed upon husbands and wives. And I think that's important to mention because how a husband and a wife relate to each other can determine how they relate to their children. So having addressed these roles, it brings us to this morning's scripture where Paul turns to the subject of relationship between parents and children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right." Now, this verse is mirrored in several different scriptures. In fact, in the Old Testament alone, I found seven different spots that address the need for children to obey and respect their parents. Paul himself addressed the issue to another church in Colossians 3:20, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases God." There's two primary biblical reasons why a children should obey their parents. And Paul says, because it's right. What he is referring to is it's keeping in God's natural law. God has designed people to have certain authority and certain responsibilities. Like he mentions in 5, he's designed husbands to love their wives. He's designed wives to submit to the authority of husbands, and he's designed children to submit to the authority of their parents. So it's in God's natural law that this is why children should obey their parents. But he goes on to give us another reason. He said, children should obey their parents because it's a commandment. What he's referring to, he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. This is in reference to Exodus 20. In Exodus 20, as we might remember, that's when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments were the core rules from which the Israelites should know how to relate to God and how to relate to each other. So the first four address how to relate to God. And in the last six, it's how to relate to each other. So he spent six out of the ten showing us how we should relate to one another. But only one of them gives us a promise, and that's honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That reiterates the fact that it's not a suggestion. God didn't say, yeah, I think it's a good thing that kids obey their parents. He says it's a commandment. Paul is saying it's a commandment. This is something that's a requirement that we should do. But Jesus addressed it too. In Matthew 15:3-4, Jesus said, addressing the Pharisees, said, why do you break God's commandment of the tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But I want to point out that while it is a commandment that children obey their parents, I want to point out that that obedience does not include immoral or idolatrous demands from a parent. That's not pleasing to God. The context of the scriptures are geared towards children whose parents are trying to teach them Christian values and teach them godly life principles. Because when it gives them the promise, it's saying that if you're obeying your parents and they're teaching you godly life principles, it's going to be good for you. But one thing as I was going through these scriptures, I was looking at this, and it ties into verse 4, but before we get to verse 4, verse 4 is about the responsibilities that we have as parents. But I was looking at this, and I thought, okay, Paul wrote this letter. Now, when he wrote letters to a church, the people that opened the letter first was the leaders of letters, the elders, the pastors. And then when they read it, and they read these letters to the congregation, and they preached to the congregation, the children were present. So the children were hearing this, obey your parents, this is a commandment, this is right in God's eyes. But it was given to the parents first. And the reason it was given to the parents first is because it's our responsibility as parents to remind our children that they are to respect us and they are to obey us. It ties into verse 4 because it's a part of our responsibility as parents. Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in this discipline and instruction of the Lord. I also want to, excuse me, point out that these are principles that he gives us. He says are specific for fathers. Now, they're specific for fathers because fathers hold that leadership role in the home. That's the biblical role of a father. But these same principles should be carried out by mothers as well. There are households where mothers are single parents. And there's households where, like, in our family, there's been several months where I'd be gone on a boat and my wife has to take care of the kids. So the same principles that he addresses with fathers are to be looked at and carried out by mothers as well. And I just wanted to point that out as well. But back to verse 4, it tells us two important things. And it tells us, one, how we should relate to our kids. And it tells us, two, how we should not relate to our kids. So when it tells us how we shouldn't relate to our kids, I was looking at this, and I'm used to this type of instruction because it's like a warning. Now, part of my job in the Coast Guard is I supervise the maintenance of the boats. And so for every maintenance we have what's called a maintenance procedure card. And they're designed to give you a step-by-step procedure of tools and every single thing you got to do to complete the maintenance. But before you do any of that, on every single one of these cards, there's a series of warnings of what not to do. You shouldn't be doing this. Don't be working on the engine while it's running. Common sense, but it's in there. But there's a series of these things that, while they may seem mundane, they're written out before you get to any of the steps, and they're written out that way so you don't cause injury to yourself. You don't cause damage to your equipment. Paul gives us what not to do first for a reason, so that we don't cause damage to our children. If a father plays a major role in the development of their children, whether the father's present or not, from the time they're young to the time they're adults. But what he's saying is, if a father teaches his children the Word of God, but he fails to illustrate the love of Christ to his kids, he's going to end up causing them to resent him. And that resentment is going to cause a major negative impact on their lives. If you're a parent, especially a father, you're going to have an impact on your children's lives. That's a fact. How that impact is going to be determined on how you are as a parent. So there's no wonder he gives us that warning before he gives us the instruction. Now, I'll be honest, fathers, when it says fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, this is not, sometimes your child is going to get angry. I have three kids, as many of y'all know, and even when you do the right thing, even when you make the right decision and the righteous decision for your kids, sometimes they're going to get angry. They're not going to get their way, and they want their way. But that's not the type of anger that he's talking about. The type of anger that Paul is referring to is anger that causes resentment. There's several ways a father and a parent can cause their kids to have resentment. There's a lot of things we can do as parents that cause resentment. But the two most common things I see, or I've seen, is harshness and overindulgence. harshness. Now, in Paul's day, fathers ruled the family with a rigid domineering authority. And in all honesty, most of the times, wives and children, their opinions and their welfare weren't even considered. And it was that type of behavior as fathers that caused resentment. But he's clear that God's authority as a father does not allow for unreasonable demands that could drive their kids to anger that would cause resentment. Ironically enough, when we look through scriptures, systematically through scriptures, you look at the issue that's going on there, and your first thought is probably, okay, that was that time. But it's not. These things are still occurring today. The same problems that the Christian faith faced back then when they were on the outskirts of society is the same stuff we face today. And this isn't just faced in the lost. This type of resentment is in the Christian home. It's in the home today in Christians and how we parent our kids. An example of this, I had a few years ago, I was sharing the gospel with a man who later actually became a close friend of mine, still a friend to this day. And I was, you know, going through the gospel and just presenting it to him. What I found out was he was saved. He had a lot of biblical knowledge. He just wasn't in church. So I started talking to him more, and what I was finding was the reason he wasn't in the church is his dad was a Baptist preacher. His dad was strict. His dad was rigid. And his dad didn't illustrate the love of Christ. And so he swore church off altogether. He didn't have a lack of biblical understanding. He had a solid biblical understanding. And let me tell you, when you're sharing the gospel to somebody who has a solid biblical understanding, there's challenges there. It's far easier to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know the Bible than it is to share the gospel with somebody that does, that's been in that situation. And he didn't come out and say it, but the question he was struggling with was, if being involved in the church resulted in his father being bitter towards his family, what's the point? Why would he want to be involved in a church if that was the result? After all, that's not the example we see Jesus illustrating. The fact of the matter is, since that time, I've ran into a lot of people, and I know a lot of people, that have similar stories. I was raised in a church. I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's the story of a lot of people you'll encounter. Is disciplining without seeing the love of Christ. Being taught the Word of God without being showed the love of Christ that causes resentment. In today's society, I think we see a different thing coming about, and that's the overindulgence. What I mean there is the idea that disciplining your children is wrong. That you should just let your children have whatever they want. That's what we're starting to see more and more in today's society. A lack of discipline can result in a child's insecurity and self-centeredness, and in them growing up to be a person that thinks they have to have his or her own way. And I've seen this in some of the young people. I work with some young guys that, you know, the 18 to 23 year old range. So maybe even different in there, that haven't, their first taste of structure is in the military, and a lot of them can't handle it because they haven't had a structure, they haven't been disciplined as kids, and it's had negative impacts on their lives. This type of overindulgence is created by parents who allow their children to make decisions that they're really not capable of making. For example, if I let my boys stay up and pick their bedtime, they'd probably stay up to midnight playing video games or watching movies, and then it would be horrible the next morning trying to go to school. Kids aren't developed to make certain decisions. If you let your kids decide what's for dinner, at my house, it'd probably be hot dogs or hamburgers every single day. Maybe pizza, to change the mix. But, or cake or whatever the case may be, kids aren't able to make certain decisions, like what's appropriate for them to watch on TV, what's appropriate bedtime for them to go to bed at, what's appropriate to eat. These are decisions that we have to make as parents. We have a tendency to feel bad when we have to tell our kids no. You know, but sometimes that's what we have to do, is tell our kids no. We're called to remember that God gave us the role of parents and not the role of peers. We can befriend them, but we're not their friends, we're their parents. We can't always agree with them. If we want what's best for them, we have to tell them no sometimes. And we have to discipline them. Paul's pretty clear about the role of discipline. He says in verse 4, bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's not necessarily the society's way of doing parenting, but we have scriptures like Proverbs 13:24 that says, the one who not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. The Bible says that God disciplines his children. Hebrews 12:5-6 says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Discipline is essential in parenting. God does it with his children, with us, and we're called to do it with our children. You have to set boundaries and you have to discipline your children. It's biblical. It's not necessarily the society's way of doing it, but it's what the Bible tells we should live by. But in order to discipline our children, we should discipline them because they come so that they'll come to respect God's commandments and God's word. But in order to do that without resentment, we have to do it out of love and not anger. And like I said, I'm a parent of three. I know what it's like to be frustrated when your kids are not listening to what you're telling them to do and you are just at your wit's end. But they got to know that you're disciplining them because you love them and not because you're mad at them. This has been something I've had to live out this week. As I write my notes for my sermon, I've had several times where I've had to live out the example here that we're given of discipline out of love and not anger. There's been several times where this week my kids alone have frustrated me. But we're called to do it out of love. But the second part of that verse, in addition to discipline, Paul also says, raise them up in the instruction. We play a crucial role as fathers in the discipleship of our children. And I think the biggest thing we see, and we have an understanding that we need to make disciples. We see it in Matthew 28:18-20, where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. We understand as Christians we need to make disciples. We see it throughout Scripture. But we have a tendency to not realize how important our own family ministry really is. I'm guilty of this. I've lost sight of this. A couple years ago, I was in a rotation for preaching like I'm doing now. I was doing youth ministry. I was doing children's ministry. And I took advantage of every chance I got to share the gospel with people. And I was talking to Louise one day, and I was kind of frustrated in the ministry. I was like, I've planted a lot of seeds, and I've shared the gospel. I haven't really got to lead anybody to Christ. She kind of looked at me like, do you not remember Christmas Eve? And I was like, oh, shame on me. Well, what she was referring to was Christmas Eve. Prior to that, I got a chance to lead my son Henry to Christ. After a candlelight service, he was asking. We pray every night, but he was asking about how to accept Jesus. And so we prayed that with him. And a few months later, when we went back to visit family in Texas, I got to baptize him in a lake there. And that same day that I was baptizing, Wyatt had questions about Jesus. I got to share the gospel with him. I got to lead two of my sons to Christ. And that's the greatest chance you're going to get to lead somebody to Christ is your own kids. But I was so focused on my ministry outside of my own family, outside of in the church, that I lost sight of the fact that the most important ministry we're given is our family. And that's why Paul wrote these scriptures, to remind us of the fact of the importance of our family ministry. When we look at Jesus' example, he preached to the multitudes. He healed the multitudes. He fed the multitudes. But he poured his life in the 12 men. And he taught those 12 men to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples. We're going to be wondering sometimes, we might wonder, well, what is our multitude? Who are the people we're supposed to be reaching? The ministry opportunities we're supposed to be in? What churches we need to be ministering in? What avenues of ministry we need to do within the church? And we're going to be given that. God's going to show us that, because we do. We have our own field. We have people we work with, our neighbors. We have different people that God's going to call us to minister to. But if you're a parent, your kids are the people you need to start with, the disciple. As a parent, your obligation does not end once your kid graduates high school. But the fact is that you have 18 to 20 years to really impact their lives. You can influence their lives beyond that, and you can still impact their lives beyond that, but you have a significant short period of time to pour your life into your children to raise them up to serve God. There's quite a few scriptures that I could go into and mention what the Bible says about children. One of which is in Psalms that says children are a gift from God. Now, sometimes it may not feel like that, but they are. They are a gift from God. But the one scripture that I think means the most to me, and it's often what I look at when I think of my own kids, is Psalms 127:4. I want to read this to you. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. I gotta tell you, I'm a bow hunter, so I really like this verse. I can relate to it. I can understand what God's trying to tell us there. And what he's saying is that God is the archer in this picture, and he can direct the lives of our children even beyond us when they leave our house. But he gives us and bestows upon us the ability to be the bow. And you can have the best arrows you got, but there's something wrong with your bow, they're not going to shoot straight. And for me, I want my arrows to cause as much damage in the enemy and bring as much glory to God. Will you pray with me?